I was going to wait till everybody came in, and then I figured, you know what? The door is open. Panelists are coming in. Chairs are moving. I'm like, all right, we'll just start the show, and maybe that'll be a subtle hint to everyone to get in. Now, let me note, the three of our panelists are here, so...
We're good panelists.
Yes. And I'm actually the tallest person in the room. I'm in a high chair.
That's
like a bar stool.
Sorry, Rosemary. Are you okay? Have you lived through that?
I'm under the table.
All right.
Okay.
This is great. Now, certainly not the first time, I'm sure.
Oh, God. I think that was slander.
No, it was just an easy shot. I apologize. Good morning. Mike Spain is here. He is from the Times Union, the former associate editor of the Albany Times Union. I don't know if I'm supposed to say the city, but it's from the Times Union, and we're thrilled that he's here. Judy Patrick is also with us. Good morning, Judy. How are you?
Good morning, Joseph. How are you?
Former editor of the Daily Gazette and... now with the New York Newspaper Association?
New York Press Association.
New York Press Association. My apologies.
No problem.
Very nice to have you with us. Rich Honan, corporate attorney to the Stars. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
Good to have you here. Yeah. Rosemary Armeo also joins us. Good morning, Rose.
Good morning.
How are you?
Investigative Not journalist. Under the table.
And adjunct. you did. Like, you slipped right under.
You were pushing furniture
I'm sorry.
Around.
We had a lot of people to get in, and my apologies. Good morning, everyone. We welcome. We're getting off to a rocky start, but we'll certainly try to right the ship here as
we don't want a horror show.
No, it's the 5th of March. It's 14 minutes past 9 o'clock. We welcome your letters. Panel at WAMC.org. Alan Chartok is here as well. Good morning, sir. How are you? All right. We'll take that as an official answer. Panel at WAMC.org. All right. Let me go to... you all right, Rich?
I'm good.
Yeah, okay.
It's just hard to keep up with the pace of the show so far.
I'm painfully aware of that. We're working on establishing some pace for the show. So, still, obviously, coming out of Super Tuesday and figuring out what happened yesterday as we were on the air, Mike Bloomberg left the race and said, "I'm out." And that now leaves four candidates still. We have Bernie Sanders, Joe Biden, Tulsi Gabbard, and Elizabeth Warren. All eyes are on Elizabeth Warren to see if she gets out of the race. We also have some reporting that says that Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren have been on the phone with one another and trying to broker something, perhaps. But then there's also some reporting that she's also been talking to Joe Biden. So we'll see what happens, if anything, as far. But correct me if I'm wrong in this. I looked this up a little bit ago, meaning last night. I didn't see that she has any events. Immediate
first
events
are Friday.
Friday in mm-hmm. Michigan, right?
Yes, okay. And that was before any voting on Super
right.
Tuesday.
So I don't know. You know, we expect something before then. So we think about that. Also, we saw the stock market go up a little bit yesterday, as a result of what we were told was interest or excitement
or relief
having to do with Biden yeah. doing so well on Super Tuesday. And what do you make of that, Rich Hahn?
I think that's probably true. I think the experts would probably tell you that it was also largely driven by healthcare stocks recovering from the fact that we would still have healthcare, if there was a Biden presidency.
Well, obviously they did want a moderate. Wall Street wanted a moderate and not somebody who was a self-styled socialist or progressive, and I think they were relieved.
Well, is this a slap in the face to Trump, who's been claiming credit for the stock market's high performance and equating that to the strong economy? And now Joe Biden wins Super Tuesday, or most of the states in Super Tuesday, and comes out ahead of Bernie Sanders, and the stock market goes up. I mean, that could suggest that if Joe Biden is elected, the stock market will go even higher. Which is ridiculous, economists would say, but it's the visuals of it are probably not good for the president.
Well, that half point rate Fed rate cut also helped a little bit.
But Rich, I mean, really, if there's a coronavirus taking over the country,
very Jack Benny-like, but go ahead.
You know, and they lower my possible mortgage, my future mortgage rate by 0.5%. I mean, I don't know how that equates to that. I just don't get it, except that it was positive action to bolster the economy, maybe.
The stock market is nuts. It's been going up and down the past 2 weeks as the news has fluctuated and not fluctuated. It makes to sit here and make sense of the market is a waste of time.
But it is a hell of a tool for a president to have, that when their popularity is in doubt, they can go to the market and to the feds and say, lower the numbers, lower the interest rate a little bit. And they'll get an absolutely predictable response.
Well, except that that's not at all the way it works. I mean, the president, other than Trump, the president is not even supposed to be lobbying the Fed, and the Fed's an independent agency.
It isn't, well, but it's supposed to be schmudby. But the fact of the matter is,
yeah, Rich.
Yeah, come on, Rich. But the president has been lobbying them, and has been lobbying them in the press, and has been lobbying them and saying they're a disgrace, even though he appointed, you know, the head guy himself. And so he did it. I mean, I have no doubt that they're a little bit afraid of him.
You know, the stock market seems like it's just has these knee-jerk reactions to the news that seem irrational. And the average American thinks, you know, because there's a tornado here or there's 10 cases of coronavirus reported in Washington, then it's going to go down 500, 600, 700 points. It doesn't seem logical.
It's not. It's just I think you and Rosemary are both – the stock market is like, you ever go on a whale watch? And
yes.
Somebody, right? Yes. Somebody sees the whale on one side. Everybody runs to that side. Then they see something on the other side. That's what the stock market is.
But
we should be looking at the Fed, however, because did they respond? Was this a response to Trump or was this a reasoned action? And now that they've taken it and coronavirus is getting worse, not better, at least in the short term, what do they have left? That's a really interesting question economically.
Right. But the Fed, by their charter, they're required to take actions to counter things that happen in the economy.
Correct.
Within their powers. So while all along this past year when Trump's been berating them to do things and take more action, and then they take more action, is it because Trump berated them or because something happened in the economy and they, like a tariff or maybe a big tax cut that now was creating a big deficit, and they have to take action to counter that to kind of protect the economy from a recession like in 2008.
But they do it and then it doesn't work, right? I mean, that day that it was the day after that it was done, it dropped
500 points.
They don't have much. They don't have much impact on this.
Well, actually, I mean, I think again, I wish Aaron Pesidi were here.
Yeah,
but I think one of the things people might say
he's
is
off for 3 weeks.
Okay. Good
for
him.
So it's all on you.
That's right. I think we all agree, or most people agree, the coronavirus, if doing nothing else, is disrupting our new phrase now, the global supply chain. Right. That's the new phrase of the month.
And travel.
The travel
industry is rocked.
Right. And longshoremen are being laid off.
Right. Yeah. And so if it's harder to get goods and materials, then the thought would be that as they become more scarce, the prices are going to go up. And if prices go up, then you're starting to look at inflation. And the way the Fed would really combat inflation, even, you know, proactively, mm-hmm. would actually be to increase rates, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah,
so
exactly.
So you would think if they think that's on the horizon, that would kind of be the next step.
So yeah, I find the action of the Fed a little bit scary. Yeah. What comes next?
We'll see which side of the boat the whale's on.
A negative interest rate. All kidding aside, is there such thing as a negative interest rate? I mean,
there is in Europe.
Yeah, and that's right.
Yeah.
And Trump would like to see that the Fed do that, but it still seems like throwing like spoonfuls of water on a fire. You know?
So in a negative interest rate, they pay you to borrow money?
It costs you to put money. If you put money in the bank, you pay the bank interest, for example.
Wow.
Think of that.
So you got to take it out and spend it and help the economy.
Yeah. But I guess that's a better way of saying it, is that they pay. You're basically paid. It makes more sense for you to borrow the money than to keep it in a bank somewhere.
So we started off talking about Super Tuesday. So let me just bring this back slightly, which is, so what impact do you think this moment in time in the economy, depending on what happens, impact that will have on the election as we move forward, especially into the fall.
Joe, do we know what the 360 is saying about New York, for example, what the projection is? Because I know for a while Bernie was leading, and we saw this huge reversal in Texas and a huge reversal, even if he didn't technically win the whole thing, in California.
But he's not going to – he's not going to win, right? I mean, Bernie's not going to win. He's not going to get the nomination. Don't you think that's now been priced into everything?
But I think I agree with you. I don't know how that can happen. But 3 weeks ago, we sat in this room and said, Biden's going to be out. If he doesn't do well, he's going to be out. If he doesn't do well in New Hampshire, he's going to have to quit.
Joe, did I hook you up last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yes, you did.
I did?
Yes, you did.
So. What does that mean, hook up?
Well, he hooked me up and he gave me some information saying that Joe Biden... No.
Does Kelly know about this?
I felt Joe's pain. So I wrote him an email last week or whenever before all this. And I was like, calm down. It's going to be Biden. Bernie's going to fade. Don't worry about it.
So, wow. What made you think that at that time?
The same thing we all think, that Bernie Sanders was never going to be the nominee of the Democratic Party. And by the way, the way the party establishment, and I might argue the mainstream media, all came together to kind of help out in those few days. I mean, that was a really well orchestrated.
Oh, please!
No, you don't think so? You don't think there was some plan to
up
this?
Up to then, no. You and Rosemary were actually agreeing with each other, but now
we're
comes
all
Rose-
getting along.
Now comes Rosemary. Go ahead, Rosemary.
Come on.
Well, between Saturday night and Monday night, before the primary, from the South Carolina results till Monday night or Tuesday morning, it's been estimated that Biden got $70 million, the equivalent of $70 million in positive publicity in the news media. He hadn't gotten that before. So
it's an amazing story that he got an endorsement won huge in South Carolina and spun it around. The media should be covering that. They did not need a call from Tom Perez of the Democratic National Committee to say, hey, we got him on the run now. So what happened is Bernie always had a weak campaign. He's not a Democrat. There's been resistance to him in the Democratic Party since 2015. It's not stunning. Only the timing is stunning. And what you're going to see now is he's already begun. He and his minions have switched their attack to everything in Biden's past. Credit card support, his support of pharma. Watch it. And it's going to be all material that Kellyanne's taking notes about, because you're going to hear about it again in the general election. It's difficult for Trump to use Ukraine, because every time he does, he's reminding people of impeachment. But all this new stuff that Bernie will bring out, just as he did with Hillary, all of his attacks will become Trump's script.
And the story today is what is Elizabeth Warren going to do?
Right.
And the media is rightfully, that's the most interesting, most suspenseful story of
Why?
The day.
Why is that?
Because there are followers, and what she decides to do, whether she throws her support to Biden or Sanders, will make a difference.
And if she, say she gives her support to Sanders, does it help him? Does it have a real impact?
There was a point at which, if you added up Bernie's numbers and Elizabeth Warren's numbers, they were way ahead of everybody else. I think that's gone now.
Rich?
I'd be, and again, this is much more your guys' area than mine, I'd be shocked if she threw her support to Bernie Sanders. I'd be shocked. I mean, why? She's not a dumb person.
She's a practical person.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to jump onto that sinking ship?
By staying in,
she could stay and say, I believe in all this stuff, and I'm just doing what I did before. She's tacitly helping Biden, and so she gets everything she wants. Why would she say, what's she going to say? I'm going to be Bernie's vice president or something? I just don't see it.
No, one of the things that was being said last night was that the phone call between Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren had less to do with her endorsing him and more to do with her perhaps just getting out and not endorsing anybody.
Which is another.
I think that's likely. The latter. Yeah.
She has a real problem. On the one hand, she and Bernie were dividing the left side the of the party vote, right? And there's integrity at stake here. If she endorses the moderate, do people call her names? Is that going to happen? It is not so easy. I am sure she's on a bit of a ledge here in terms of which way to go, if at all. And I think maybe you're right, Rich. Maybe the smartest thing to do is to stay in.
Plus, and the other thing, I'll defer to you, Rosemary, but I just – because of the presence of Trump, isn't any Democrat who says, listen, the most important thing is to defeat Donald Trump.
Correct.
Nobody can throw stones at them for that. You know, and they're not abandoning their principles. They're just saying, I'm adding my voice because until we get back into the White House, we can't get any of this done.
So that's a rationale for her
anyone,
going with Biden,
yeah.
Right?
Right, and I think that Bernie has not proven that he can grow his support. That's clear.
Yeah.
Those young people who we know don't vote, they proved us right.
I can't see Elizabeth going with Bernie because he was picked as the better progressive than Elizabeth, and I certainly don't believe that. And so that there's a pride issue there. He must be terribly difficult to work with.
So you're talking about personal anger on her part?
That's part of it. And the second part is what we were just talking about. The most important thing is getting Trump out. That's the Democratic agenda. And Elizabeth has always worked to do that. Bernie has not. Bernie said, I got to get rid of Trump. I'm going to do everything I can. And then he trashed Hillary. He stayed in too late. And Hillary has warned about that. And she's been criticized. But what she said was true. And he's going to do it again this time. He is going to hurt Biden. He's going to wait till you see. It's already begun today. I'm already getting email about the trashing Biden. So I can see Elizabeth, I think, either going with Biden or possibly staying out. I don't think she'll stay in the race. She'll get out without an endorsement.
We're going to take a break when we come back. Maybe.
Maybe. I thought she'd get out yesterday.
What we have all proven, not just us, but pundits in general.
We know nothing.
Well, no one can predict what this race has been.
I can predict.
Yes, well, and of course I am. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation. We welcome your letters. Panel@WAMC.org. Panel@WAMC.org. What a panel it is. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, Rich Honan, Rosemary Armeo, and of course your letters, which we'll get to in just a few moments. Panel@WAMC.org. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion. Very nice to have you with us. This quick thing from the New York Times about Super Tuesday. Joe Biden not only reclaimed his status as a frontrunner on Super Tuesday, but his victories also gave him a clear path to amassing enough delegates to clinch the nomination by the Democratic National Convention. Bernie Sanders, the left-wing's champion, has dodged a knockout blow for now. While he has lost his lead in pledged delegates, he remains competitive in the delegate count, and he has probably stopped Mr. Biden well short of an overall majority of delegates awarded on Super Tuesday. But a New York Times upshot analysis suggests that the close delegate race might not last for long. If the race doesn't take a decisive turn in favor of Mr. Sanders, Mr. Biden is likely to build an insurmountable delegate lead over the next few weeks. Does anyone have issue with that?
No.
I don't expect it's the year of the unexpected.
And I guess we're not going to talk about whether you enter the convention with a plurality of votes, whether or not you need a second round of votes.
I don't think there's going to be a very contested. I think the convention is either going to be uncontested or it's going to be so mildly contested that you're right. I think Biden wins on the first round.
What's the right thing for Bernie to be doing right now? In other words, if he's attacking, quote, the regular Democrats, the moderate Democrats, as being, you know, sellouts to the corporate structure in America.
And Kellyanne taking notes is
that was a good point, Rosemary. Yeah.
There's nothing he can think of that Kellyanne hasn't already thought of, right?
Oh, that's true.
You know, but it does give her the forum to say.
It gives it weight to say as your
party.
Own.
Yeah, yeah,
that's exactly what happened with Hillary. Yeah. The right thing for Bernie to do is to be sitting down with the Democrats and with Biden and saying, okay, I'm not going to make it, but here's what I want to go gracefully.
Right.
And he pushes in those policies that he supposedly cares about so much. But as you and I have contended for a long time, I think Bernie really only cares about getting the presidency. And the ideas, which are wonderful and has pushed the party party, and for which I give him great credit, he could now, he's in a position to make sure, pick whichever two or three you want the most and get those in. Get them in the platform.
That's what he's going to do.
Get an appointment, and that's what he should be doing.
The last time what he got was a new voting structure in Iowa.
Yeah, and look what that got him, right.
Well, he has, I think that he has influenced Biden to be pushing for a much more progressive version of the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And so that's his maybe number one issue.
It's going to be single payer. I think that's his deal.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be agreed to by Biden, though.
Well, see, that's the whole problem with Bernie, is that this is what we need, nothing less.
Right.
And that is not what Democrats, much less Americans, have proved that they want. They like Joe Biden saying, look, we got Obamacare, it's got problems, let's put it back in and fix it. And that is what people are voting for right now, that and security and the end of Trump mania.
Yeah. But I think Bernie gets out. I think Bernie is going to be so defanged even before the election. And what's going to happen when Obama—
You think he's going to get out before the end of the primaries?
No, I don't. I think in his mind, I think what he will do is get out maybe during the convention in a long, gracious primetime speech or something like that.
The last time it wasn't even so gracious.
Yeah, but this, listen, he had a more of a legit chance against Hillary, and I think he had some more legit complaints back then as well.
Look, he knows.
But he doesn't have it now.
Look, he knows, as we all do, that this is the end of the line for him. He doesn't get another shot. So he's desperate to do it, and he'll do whatever he can to do it. You want some letters? Sure.
Please. Yeah.
Okay. Dan writes, Rich Honan and the stock market. You're now everybody's favorite, Rich. Rich, your comparison of the stock market to a whale watch is a perfect description. I laughed out loud. I am going to have to use that one in the future, and I will give you credit.
Thank you very much.
Dan from Pittsfield.
Oh, I thought it was a Cornell economist or something.
Very nice letter. And Michael says, question for Rich, as investors, what do we do in a whale market? And that's Michael from Claverick.
Stay on the boat.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So you don't lose until you sell.
Oh, that's right.
Perfect metaphor.
Yeah, wow. Pretty good.
And then we heard from Jimmy, who said, a question for Alan. I remember 2016, Alan was all about Bernie. He seems not as enthusiastic this time around, ? If so, please explain. I'm with everybody else who are saying the most important thing is to get rid of Trump. And therefore, to me, Biden is a much more sensible choice right now.
That's also, don't the analytics say that the percentage, like Bernie's percent, the percentage of people who came out to vote for Bernie, like in, especially in South Carolina, went down dramatically. Like he got like 52%
of Virginia and Maine.
Yeah. I think we've said this for a while, that Bernie peaked last time. Mm-hmm. You know, he's the only one who doesn't know it. And at some point, he'll come to that realization.
And he did admit yesterday that he was unable to get the young voters out.
Those damn kids.
Something I've been saying again and again and again, the professors in the room, not you, Rosemary, were always turning around and saying, well, my students are going to vote this time. Yeah, right. Not in the history of this country have they come out that way.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, the strategy of winning by getting a whole bunch of new people who haven't been voting out to vote is very, very difficult. It's much more likely that you succeed by invigorating the people that generally do go out to vote and going after them. And I'm afraid that's an older crowd, and it's just reality.
Although arguably, didn't Obama in 2008, wasn't that one of the things
that
they attributed to him, was actually
increasing
the voting rolls?
That's very difficult.
Among those voters were people of color. And I think that's extremely important here.
And that's why we see those numbers of 68%, 72% from Joe Biden.
Yeah,
so
but it
impressive.
Wasn't because they were young. It was because they had felt disenfranchised for a long time. And to me, I will always remember Jesse Jackson being panned in the crowd at the inauguration with tears rolling down his eyes.
Obama's inauguration, of course.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not to say we shouldn't try. We shouldn't stop trying to engage younger voters. I mean, but I wouldn't bet the house on them.
You know, Judy, you're so goo-goo.
I defend Judy on that. She's right.
Well,
of course. You have to go after them. They are the future. We have to get them at some time. But you don't count on their votes for
I always say
November.
They'll start to vote when they get a mortgage.
I agree. I think once you have
that about people who listen
or
to public radio.
Loan,
we'll get them when they have a mortgage.
That's right.
Well, there's not going to be home ownership in the future the way we know it either. Disturbs me about this is Bernie's charge that it's the establishment stopping him. It really isn't. It's rank and file Democratic voters who are stopping him. And he has to accept that. It isn't a cabal against him. I hate
What's the argument that is to be made that the rank and file are stupid and they don't know what they're doing?
No, the rank and file.
I'm not saying for you, for him. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, isn't he saying the establishment is different from the. You're saying.
I am saying
he's saying
numbers.
It's the higher ups. You're saying the actual voters don't like you, Bernie.
Yeah,
that's
and they
the
haven't
problem.
Since 2015. Right. All that stuff about superdelegates, it makes me crazy. Yeah. We never got to superdelegates. He lost at the regular delegate count. He did not beat Hillary Clinton. He did not beat at the voting booth. And that's not the establishment. That's
people.
Okay, did they brainwash us? That is saying that.
Well, yeah,
are
and
so
there
stupid.
There was evidence that Debbie Wasserman Strauss
Schultz.
Who was the Democratic chair for part of the 2016 campaign and had to resign in disgrace, was working very closely with the Hillary campaign to shut down Bernie's candidacy. And that really, I think, disaffected a lot of people and soured them on Hillary and soured them on the whole process.
And as you say, she had to resign in disgrace. So corruption is found, corruption is routed out. That's,
sure. Yeah.
But this year, I think everybody was very open about it. I think whether you call it the Democratic establishment or what I call the media, but I mean everybody was in a frenzy.
What?
Oh my God! Don't let him get by with
Rich.
That.
Oh, come
on. Closest to him, Rosemary.
You could not turn on.
This is why I won't sit next to me because I am the whole. Restraining.
You could not turn on CNN. You could not turn on MSNBC. But you couldn't even turn on Fox without somebody saying, "Oh my God, Bernie's going to win. What's this going to do?" Everybody was in a huge tizzy about.
Okay,
that.
But what about the stock market response yesterday? Is that the media too?
Let's see which side of the boat
was
on.
Let's see what happens.
What was it? Was it the fact that they were breathing a sigh of relief and saying, "Okay, buy stocks," and because this is a good thing that Biden has won?
First of all, I agree with Rosemary and Judy. I just don't know that you could ever attribute some actual logic to it. If you asked me, I would say the fact that. What the stock market loves is normalcy, you know, and Biden, I think, represents normalcy. Yes. We don't have to hear about this, you know, Meshuggah socialist guy, you know, who sounds like Larry David for the next, you know, however many months.
And
whether you like Biden or, you know, right, either way, whether you like Biden or don't, I mean, he's a real guy. He's a real candidate. You know, there's some gravitas there. And it's the way things are supposed to be. And the stock market really likes the way things are supposed to be.
Okay.
But they haven't been the way they're supposed to be for the last 3 years. And the stock market has done
well.
Enormously has not been part of the Trump administration.
That's your view, though, Judy. I think there's a lot of people who believe that in many ways, these are the way things should be. And I'm talking whether it's economical or all those things. I'm saying.
No, we're talking about chaos.
Well, you guys see chaos, but then that's belied by your theory that if the stock market is somehow a surrogate of the sentiment of the country, and I'm not sure it is, but if it is,
some of the country,
yeah,
sure.
Some of the country,
the stock market sees slashing corporate taxes and no regulation. So, of course, it's going to go up. And they don't care about the chaos, the division in the country, all the political stuff. They care about no regulations, dump into the oceans, pollute the air and water.
I think that's...
Spend.
That's only an aspect of it.
Do whatever you want.
They'll just go the money is. They'll buy, you know, they'll buy the dot-com startup that looks like it's going to go crazy. Well, they just go where the money is. If the money is in a environmentally sound company that's finding ways to create energy without without polluting, they're going to put a lot of money into that. That's a big future.
I would also say the stock market likes the idea that there's a lot of people working and that wages are increasing, not hugely, but wages are they're upswinging. I'm not saying they're jumping.
What was that sound, Rosemary?
No.
That was an sound. They don't care that people are working. They don't care at all. And what they care about
are who are they? I just want to know who are they?
Because by the way,
corporate investors who decide what the prices are on Wall Street.
Okay, I'm the only person at this table, I bet, who is not in the stock market. Okay, every one of you here has some amount.
Why are you not in the stock market?
I'm in cash all the time.
Ooh. Okay,
how much cash?
What about real estate?
Can we count it during the break?
I just want to.
I have
say
a car
more
that follows me.
I want to say one more thing to Jimmy, who asked that question about me and, you know, Bernie and why I cooled on Bernie this time. The answer is
it's really nettling.
I voted for Bernie the last time. There's no question about it because I really didn't like what the Clintons were doing. At the time, I really had an issue with Rosemary. Let everybody on the radio
know.
Don't
talk about it. We don't want to.
Let everybody know that Rosemary has her hand over her face.
I'm touching my face.
You're not supposed to be.
Coronavirus notwithstanding.
You're not supposed to be doing that. Okay, all right, I'm done with that letter.
Okay. We're going to take a pause for a moment. We just have to take a break and let everybody cool down, and we'll be good to go. All right, just Rosemary. We'll be right back after this. Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome back to the Roundtable and to our panel discussion. Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, the Dancing Rich Honan, and we have Rosemary Armeo. And we welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org. Alan, let's go to those letters.
Okay, good morning. Last night at 5 p.m., Biden gave a press briefing, and it was 110% coherent. Dead on.
Come on, everybody.
That's
hilarious. Give him a hand.
That's hilarious.
Dead on presidential and very inspirational. The only mental affliction that Biden and my father suffer from is known as dorky old grandpa. I would also like to poll the esteemed panel on who they would choose as Biden's VP. I go first, the lady from California.
Kamala Harris.
Yeah, I think tomorrow it would be Kamala Harris.
I like Kamala Harris. I'd be really happy with Stacey Abrams. I think she's done amazing work on stopping voter suppression. She's from the South.
Yeah, but what? So we had this. You and I had this discussion off the air yesterday. But what about the experience?
You don't need experience. You get experience when you're vice president.
Yeah, but Trump didn't have any experience.
Okay,
neither did Obama.
Yeah. Well, it's a question of who you.
Well, he was a senator.
But we have a 77-year-old candidate. In both cases.
All right. Kamala Harris, who you all love so much, she's been a senator for about 10 minutes and was a prosecutor in the state.
Just like John Kennedy was a senator for 10 minutes.
No, that's a fair point. What about Amy Klobuchar?
I love Amy Klobuchar, but I think he needs a double. He needs a twofer.
Woman and
he
a
needs
woman
a double identity.
A dofer.
He does. Because he's an old white guy. He really needs a double dose of diversity.
All right. So
you're
I think that
agreeing
answers
with me
the
letter. Or not?
I like Kamala Harris, but I also I think there are others.
Okay. Good morning. By the way, she has not yet indicted. She has not yet endorsed anybody for the presidency. So that may tell you something.
And can I just put a plug in for Maya Rudolph, who does a great imitation of Kamala Harris?
It would be good to have her on Saturday Night Live.
Rudolph would make an excellent vice president.
And anyway, Mike from Kingston writes us a letter, Biden's faculties. We did that. Dark Yellow Prima. I would like to see. Yeah, we did that. Okay. And then Gunner. Oh, thank you for those
new
shows.
Some new ones.
So we're making fun of Biden's faculties as we're rereading the same letters.
Okay. And Gunner says, panel, as much as I enjoy the panel, it can be out of touch. Let me elaborate. Yeah. I'm 36, a PhD candidate, an adjunct faculty member, and I have student debt. I haven't had health insurance the majority of my adult life, and I have rarely earned enough to get above the poverty line. And that's from Gunner.
Okay, so what does that mean? How are we out of touch? What do we say that we're out of touch with? I don't have student debt, but I might as well have. I'm helping my sons. So all those issues affect all Americans. They're not to one generation or another.
Yeah, and you referenced before the changing situation with home ownership and how generations after us are not going to as easily obtain home ownership, and that's like the American dream, so to speak. There has to be a shift in the economic platform for there to be more equality throughout it. And Bernie says he's going to bring that, but his way of doing it, I think, is burning down the House.
Well, not just the American dream. That's the, you know, the part of it. But it's the basis of the American economy.
It's wealth.
If you have young people who cannot buy cars and houses, we are doomed.
Yeah.
By the way, I feel less doomed than I have.
You just shook your finger at me. I wanted to know.
Yeah, that's true. It's Bernie. It's the Bernie.
By the way,
I feel less doomed than I did at the start of this election season because I thought surely it was going to be.
You can reverse doom? I like that.
I'm feeling glimmers of light. It feels like could it be hope?
Wow.
You're good, Rosemary.
Well, that is good. I hope it continues.
Wasn't Bernie just really buying young people's vote by promising to erase their student debt? It seems
now, every 64-year-old in the listening area who supports Bernie is going to write to you and say, I'm not one of them. Are you supportive for? We have lots of diversity in our brotherhood.
In the brotherhood here. Barry says, Vice President, what about Elizabeth Warren as VP? She would light up the ticket and trounce on Trump. Trounce is capitalized. And that's Barry from no other place than Potter Hollow.
I'll go back to the Tom Friedman, the editorial columnist in the New York Times, who talks about a fusion ticket. When it's clear that Biden, I guess now, is going to have the nomination, what he should do is he should roll out what his cabinet will be. You know, Cory Booker as the HUD secretary, Elizabeth Warren perhaps as the Secretary of Treasury. Wouldn't that scare Wall Street? but, you know, lay out all the great people that were in the Democratic primary before they were not, and try to put together the oxymoron I was talking about before to Rich, and that is a unified Democratic Party.
Or a team of rivals, as he called it.
Well, I'll give you the conservative counter to that.
Sure.
And it is that actually, I think, might hurt him. Look, the conservatives are going to vote for Trump, whatever. But I'm talking with, you know, what we call the true independents, because I think what whether the narrative comes out this way or what the fear is going to be is, all right, so if Biden's the president, the real stuff is going to get done at the agency level. And so the independents who maybe liked Biden aren't necessarily going to like, you know, Bernie Sanders at Labor. You know what I mean? Or Elizabeth Warren as AG or God forbid, like Treasury or, you know, something like that. And because she has the banking, you know, the bank. So I actually think they have to think about that. And while that'll help the Democrats, I don't think he needs to do more to embrace the Democrats. I think that's going to be the big play. The conservatives are going to say, look, Joe Biden's a nice guy. He's a lot nicer than Trump. He treats the presidency maybe better than Trump, however you want to say it. But if you elect Biden, you're not going to get Biden. So you really got to look at who's under him. And I'm not saying this is true. I'm saying this is what the fear is going to be. I think that'll be.
You know what? There's another issue here. And that is, you can write that these are the people who ought to be in my cabinet. They have the right to say no. Somebody who's a United States senator can say, no, I'd rather be a senator than be a flunky in the cabinet.
Yeah, I wish Jeff Sessions had done that. But anyway.
So does he.
Yeah.
So does everybody. As of today, he does.
But he hasn't lost yet, right?
Did he lose?
He's in a runoff. And Trump has started joking about it.
Tommy Tuberville.
Nasty tweets about it.
Something like that. Tommy Tuberville.
Yeah.
Something
and
like that.
Trump has already begun tweeting that he lost because he didn't have the courage to stand up against the fake Russian hoax. So the coach who's running against him, you're right, Mr. President, help is on its way.
The best.
What is Alabama? What's with that?
Best remark I have heard this week was, I want to live long enough to see Trump escorted out of the White House. That was great. Okay, and let's go to correct Rich, says Bob from Albany, about his comment regarding the stock market responding to the fact that we would still have health care. More accurately, we would still have the most expensive health care in the world, and that is among the worst performing health care in the world. Bob from Albany. Well,
I take issue with your assumption, but... Okay.
With the assumption.
No, we don't have a great healthcare system, but people don't want to just drop it and abandon it and go to something new.
Well, in Nevada, the union people wanted to keep their healthcare plans. That was one thing that interfered with Bernie Sanders' support there. Yeah.
When Trump brings up Hunter, said Lisa, will Biden bring up Junior, Ivanka, and Eric? I hope so. Fight fire with fire, I say. And Lisa from the off-quoted Pokwag.
Well, don't you think that Biden's people right now are formulating their entire plan on undoing or managing the Hunter Biden issue?
Yeah, Mike, you would think that, but you also would have thought they would have done that
before he announced his candidacy.
Why does everything take these guys by surprise?
Yeah. Now, Rich, you're right. Biden has the advantage of having on his staff all those well-paid Michael Bloomberg people.
Yeah, that's right.
Things.
Yeah, who did so well of figuring out how to react to stop and frisk.
But they come free.
And so, they do produce a really cool commercial.
They do. That, you know.
I'll tell you, if I'm Biden, if I'm advising Biden on all the Hunter stuff, I just ignore it. I just stay above.
You're probably right.
Well, that's what he's done so far, but he's gotten.
You're probably right.
I criticize him for it, but it worked for him.
Yeah. What do you? Yeah.
Just remember Swift Boat.
He's going to say he's my son, and I support my son.
And just remember the candidate in which the whole idea is to get all of the garbage out up front, so that later on when they try to bring it up back, I say, that's old stuff. Anyway,
one more, and then we got to take a break.
Mary Ellen says, Warren, good morning. Don't you think that since her state chose Biden that she would be following the wishes of her constituents? And that's from Mary Ellen of Gansford.
Great point.
It is.
All right. We'll
live in that state.
We'll take a break. We'll be back right after this. Can you dance to this, Rich?
Good. I feel like I could dance to almost anything, but that was tough.
Good morning. Welcome back to the round table. We'll stop there. Whale songs? Is that what you said? Yeah.
Speaking of whales, right?
You're on a theme today.
Yes.
Whales are on your mind.
We welcome you back. We have Alan Chartok, Judy Patrick, Mike Spain, Rich Honan, and Rosemary Armeo. A great panel this morning. We welcome your letters, panel at WAMC.org, and we have lots of them. We'll go to those.
Okay, see, Joe, you're even sounding very – you've got that FM radio voice going, you know, where you're sounding very mellow.
Yeah, very mellow. Well, that's music. I'll just bring you right into it.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Daniel says, Bernie Bros and Rosemary – Rosemary said Bernie attacks just as with Hillary will become Trump's scripts. What? That's capital W-H-A-T question mark. What? Didn't Bernie say enough about the damn emails? And that was Trump's whole shtick. As a millennial Bernie voter who has voted a straight Democratic ticket my entire life, I am tired of boomers like Rosemary insulting Bernie's minions. They aren't minions. They are millions of passionate voters inspired by Bernie's aspirations. I still love you, Rosemary, parenthesis, and Alan. P.S. Yes, I will vote for anyone over Trump. Okay, so Daniel's letter is interesting, and there's a great article in, I believe, the New York Times, which I believe I read in the middle of the night last night, is Bernie responsible for some of the terrible things that his...
Oh, yeah, we have that one.
I think I sent it to you.
You did. It is from... it is a Yahoo news story, actually.
Oh, Yahoo, yeah.
It's a Yahoo news story. And, yes, is Sanders accountable for his hostile supporters... And fans on social media have become a campaign issue. The 78-year-old Vermont senator who has cultivated a young and passionate base of supporters has emerged as a strong contender. But the behavior of some of his supporters and Sanders' response to their actions has sparked criticism from political observers and rival campaigns.
Well,
of Sanders supporters, I'm sorry, are known for their harsh and at times venomous attacks on supporters of other candidates. And although social media has been a home for a rowdy political debate since its inception, critics charge that Sanders supporters indulge in a kind of online bullying that's beyond the pale.
That sounds kind of unfair to me. Isn't a sliver of everybody's supporters, you know?
No, I don't think you're right. I've been getting some of those letters.
It might be a 2x4. Yeah.
I've been getting some of those letters, and they're not nice.
They're
basically threatening, if you don't support Bernie, Allen, even though you voted for him the last time, I will never give any money to WMC. So that's crazy.
Did you ask how much money have you given till now?
No, I haven't. And by the way, I often look it up, and it's not there. Yeah. Okay, back to the letters, right?
Yes.
Chris says, watch your language. Bernie Sanders doesn't want to, quote, abolish health care, as Mike Spain joked this morning. The words you choose matter. The vast majority of countries in the world just do fine without a private health insurance industry making billions in profits off the sick and dying.
Name one.
But by Think of all the starving children in Europe. By equating Sanders' platform with abolishing health care, you're only misleading your listeners and propping up the status quo of our terrible and immoral system. Chris in Troy.
Well, I feel like I should respond since it was aimed at me. If I said abolish health care...
By the debate rules, that is true.
I believe if I did say that, then I don't disagree. I didn't say... Well, whatever I said, I meant to say abolish private health care. Have people give up their CDPHP, Blue Cross Blue Shield, CHP, all those companies, United Healthcare, and have it all run by the government. At least Elizabeth Warren, when she talked about it, she talked about a transition that had to consider and take into consideration the millions of people whose jobs and livelihoods are working for private healthcare companies and helping them make the transition. I mean, whatever you're talking about, if the U.S. is moving to public, to a single payer healthcare system, which in theory I think would be good. It has its ups and downs, but I think it would be good because it would solve the problem of people not having any health care, and I think people have a right to that. But getting rid, just saying as a campaign slogan, I'm going to get a single-payer system and get rid of private health care, it's not doable. He doesn't have the support among Democrats to do it, let alone independents and Republicans.
I'm not checking in on this till I hear what Sanjay Gupta has to say about it.
The new secretary, the new health czar, and the
Mike. By the way, what you just said—that's what I understood you to say before.
Oh, okay. I didn't understand you to say that
he was abolishing all health care. The funny thing about the Warren thing was when you said she, you know, she. I think the transition part of the plan was something she implemented after she got a lot of blowback
originally, and
I wonder if you could start tracing that to the beginning of the erosion of her support and people kind of drift, the purists drifting, you know, back towards Bernie. Because that's when she really started to lose it a little bit. It was when she started, she had all these great plans and everything, and then she backtracked, and that was a big backtrack. Well, and I think, I bet you could date it to back then where you start seeing it.
The word is pivot. I think that is used a lot with politicians. And do you think that Elizabeth Warren is capable of pivoting? And I think she demonstrated that she is, and it may have been to her detriment. I don't know that Bernie could pivot.
I think you need a certain amount of gravitas to be able to pivot. Uh-huh. So for example, when somebody like President Obama, you could argue he pivoted on gay marriage, and he would say, "I evolved." And I think he had the gravitas and what the credibility to be able to do that. I think when you have a plan, when you've been hawking something for years and then you come out with the plan and then a week later you change the plan, I don't know that you have the ability to pivot that quickly.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't her popularity when she was at the top, wasn't that connected to the time that Bernie was in the hospital with a heart attack too, and right after that? And there were questions about whether he would continue. I don't think she ever caught fire on the progressive side the way he did. I don't know why, I can't explain it, but I don't think she ever really had a great lead.
I think she's just one of those who's just best when she's on the attack, but after a while you need to get beyond the attack and say, okay, you've given the 12 reasons why this person is wrong, now give me one reason why your way is right. And I don't think that plays well against, say, a Biden. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can get it. I get it against Biden, but against Bernie is what I don't get, because she had very similar policies, very, very similar. She is definitely a better executive. I don't know.
I think she's I was talking at break. My daughter is still a big Bernie person. And I think when I talk to her, it sounds like a lot of the young people perceive him as having more sincerity. Those are his views. He's going to say what his views are. He's not going to apologize. Yeah, it's going to cost a ton of money. Yeah, it's going to come from you. And she's a little more political about it.
You know,
one
of the things that's been confusing me, and I really have been thinking seriously about, is the fact that the American people of African American heritage really seem to be for Biden, big stuff, right?
Yes.
And yet, Latinos, or what do they call? What's the new word?
Latinx.
Latinx. Latinx. Yeah. are largely for Bernie. Can somebody explain that to me?
Well, that's from what I've heard, the Bernie campaign has worked really hard to develop that constituency, particularly in the West, but not so much on the Eastern Coast. And being in the community and making those people feel like he supports them and believes in them, is they've been working on that for a long time. He has a great ground game.
But he's been working on the African-American community, too. We know that. So yeah, how come it works in one place and not in another?
With the exception of Biden, who has any street cred in the African-American community of the Democratic, the former Democratic, yeah, sure. Klobuchar? I'm saying, go through the list.
Even Cory Booker, Kamala Harris, who had banked on pulling African-American strength away from Biden, didn't do it. And it does come from experience. These are people who have been a group that has been abused in this country, and they want proof before they're going to deliver their allegiance. And here is a man who has played second fiddle to a black man. That means something. And was not just decent. They were friends. It was a real partnership. He has worked for years on that. But there's no expectation that Latinos and blacks would want the same candidates. Their issues are different. Their outlook is different. Their experience in America is different. I'm not so surprised that one group...
I mean, in other words, Latinos
were not slaves ever that I'm aware of. There's not a 300-year history of resentment, 400-year history of, all right, 1600s, right?
1600s. No, I get that part. I'm wondering
immigration
about the Latinos. What is it about the Latinos?
Well, that's what I'm saying. The immigration is going to be different. The views towards other countries and trade is different among Latinos than among blacks.
I think also
jobs.
I think also the groups themselves, we all grew up in this era of, there's this group that votes this way, and we tend to think that way. I think the groups are so diffuse now that it's hard to say, Democrats vote this way, or this income votes here, or this region of the country, or this ethnicity. I just think there's so much ebb and flow that it's really hard to talk about.
Apparently not in the black community, right?
I think you're only talking within the Democratic Party, and what's
there are an awful lot of blacks in the Republican Party.
I think one of the things that's going to be tested in November is the extent to which, if any, some of those historically Democratic voters, African American voters who historically vote Democrat, whether they move over.
It's interesting.
That's one of the issues, isn't it?
It is interesting that I saw when Vice President Pence came out with his panel the other day, they pulled in the guy from HUD. What's his name?
Dr. Ben Carson.
Ben Carson, yeah.
And has everybody seen the new Bernie Sanders commercial where it infers that he has been endorsed by President Obama? Very, very...
He was inspired by Mike Bloomberg.
Bloomberg. Yeah. Terrific,
and so the pressure's on, should Obama step forth and say, hey, I haven't endorsed anybody yet?
Stephen says, endowment, endorsement, and polls. Why should I care who is endorsing who and who is the head in the polls? I think people should think for themselves and not be followers. Stephen from Lee, Massachusetts.
Well, he's right. We agree.
I agree with that.
But of course, you need information in order to vote, in order to choose.
I find endorsements interesting, and I read them. They don't say, now I have to vote this way because the New York Times or a congressman from South Carolina says a certain thing. But it's just like when you look at a movie, you read the reviews, you already know what you think of it, but you want to know if your opinion is reinforced or can be explained by someone else.
But speaking of the New York Times, interesting, their endorsement went a long way, didn't it, to choosing the candidate here?
Exactly. They don't have that weight.
No. And they were wrong.
I think their endorsement of Klobuchar and Warren had maybe three lines about Biden in it. Mm-hmm. And not an endorsement.
And Frank said, primary, should Bernie point out Biden's noticeable dementia, or should they wait for Trump to do that? Thanks. Frank in New Jersey.
That's a really glass house to throw a brick in.
Hot calling the kettle.
And
that's a tough one.
But Trump is much younger. He's like 5 years younger than Bernie.
Is he really?
Yeah.
Isn't 72?
He like 74?
Yeah, but they're, okay.
He eats a lot of hamburgers.
70, yes. Three
okay,
or four.
So
much younger, right?
Yeah. And here's an interesting letter from
70s. Sure is. Yeah.
Kevin from Scaticoke writes, Rich is delusional. Good morning, Rich. Quit.
Poor Rich really gets beat up on, doesn't
quit spewing.
Oh, this is not even a bad day. Keep
good
going.
Morning, Rich. I was just thinking Rich has been pretty good today, hasn't he? Yeah. As things go.
Always good right now.
Yeah.
All right. Well, why am I delusional?
Good morning, Rich. Quit spewing.
But you're delusional also.
Quit spewing Fox News talking points. Last time I checked, the voters decide who they want as a nominee. If Bernie can't win Massachusetts after a no-show from Biden, that's on him. Quote, no, that's not a quote. That's a speck on the paper. Your rhetoric is old and played. Your rhetoric is old and played out. Cheers, Kevin from Scaticoke.
Well, I stand by my statement that I believe that there was a significant amount of concern expressed on a lot of the networks and in a lot of the media over what was going to happen to the Democratic ticket if Sanders ended up winning.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's difficult for him to argue against that.
Well, it was expressed right here.
It was pundits everywhere arguing, like Tom Friedman does today, that it will be a disaster for the Democratic Party. People keep bringing up the name George McGovern, although it's very different, but they do bring it up, and it's scary. And yeah. And if the news media reports that these politicians and these columnists are saying it, are they the one saying it? No, yeah. But I understand what you're
and Phil is. Writes, Rosemary, hi panel. I'm wondering why Rosemary seems so disgusted just now when saying Bernie will bring up, quote, trash in Biden's past like he is cozying up with the pharma and credit cards. Aren't his past standards relevant? Isn't Rosemary an investigative reporter? Very odd, this allegiance to political same old, same old. Thanks from Phil.
Okay, so let me explain this. Bernie is talking out of both sides of its mouth. I will do everything he says to defeat Trump. And then he gives Trump material. And all of those things, like his connections to credit card companies, has been reported by investigative reporters. It is known. And yes, he is answerable to it. But should it come, should the charges come from Bernie? Because if Trump says it, then he defends himself. If Trump instead says, your own party mates are saying, hey, what about this? It has a different weight. And Bernie had fell into it with Hillary, for which she still harbors great resentment to him, and he's going to do it now.
He wants to be president. Juan says, Warren, good morning. How difficult will it be for Warren to square the circle, in quotes, if it comes down to her dropping out and supporting Biden, who is also supported by Bloomberg, someone who she abhors?
I think our answer to that was what we gave before, is just blame it on Trump. The number one job is you have to defeat Trump.
Well, also, if you went around and eliminated everybody who likes somebody else, nobody would be on your like list, that's for sure. Stacy says, Michigan, Michigan, Michigan. Two things. If Bernie does not win Michigan by big numbers, he is done and needs to get out. Biden needs to announce his VP, Stacey Abrams. Biden should offer Bernie the Secretary of Labor. And that is from Stacy.
Is Michigan this Saturday?
The 10th.
The 10th, yeah, March 10th.
125 delegates.
What is the, do we know what the polling is saying on that, Joe?
In Michigan?
Yeah.
I don't. I will check.
You have the fastest way of getting.
I will say that I looked this up yesterday afternoon, and there was not a new poll yet. But let
hard
me
to believe.
See. What we have here for Michigan.
Doesn't Bernie have the same health care problem with the unions there that he would have that he had in Nevada, or no?
It seems like it would be an issue. But he also speaks to unions, you know. I mean, that he supports.
Did he win in Nevada?
Unions.
He did.
He won well, but there was some pushback from Latinx voters who were in labor unions in Nevada around Las Vegas who had fought hard and won good health care benefits.
The latest poll, which was released March 3rd, which would have been Tuesday, right?
It doesn't even matter then.
Yeah, so was up. Biden was up by 7 points and leading in Michigan with 29%.
Well, all I remember is Biden saying during the last campaign on behalf of Hillary, we saved, you know, the car industry. We saved the auto industry, you know, when he was with Obama after the 2008 shortfall, you know, economic dump. And I think that will probably help him, don't you think, in Michigan?
Yeah, and Biden had always been leading in Michigan up until Iowa, and he took a took a dive and then has come back.
Anyway, Rose wrote us a letter and said Amy and Pete did not sacrifice anything. Amy and Pete didn't have a viable way forward anyway, and they know that by so quickly and enthusiastically endorsing Biden before Super Tuesday, they have advanced their political futures in the Democratic Party, gaining a huge amount of political capital. By endorsing Biden, they were also assured of a tremendous amount of media attention and lavish praise from Biden and the whole Democratic
for about 3 hours. Yeah.
I think that both of them advanced their careers by running, not by how they dropped out. What they did in dropping out was the party routine, is that you have a vigorous debate in the primary, and then you support the winner, the apparent winner in this case. And I think they did it well and graciously, and they deserve to have their careers advance. I certainly am going to look to them in the future for big positions in government.
And Rose goes on and says, same goes for Beto, who had totally dropped out of the media and public attention. I think that's certainly true.
Yeah. Well, I think Beto got a lifeline from Biden.
Yeah, right.
The media also gave Biden... The media also gave Biden a tremendous amount of free positive media attention and adulation. The win in South Carolina was covered as if it were a win of the actual Democratic nomination, and then likewise the endorsement rallies. I love your program, and I listen every morning, and that's R-O-R, Rose of Rhinebeck.
I think that the South Carolina story was extraordinary. And it got a lot of coverage because of that. I hate the full coverage of rallies. You know, Trump's, Biden's, all of them. That is just not, should not be the role.
Except when Jill tackled the oncomer.
I did like that picture a lot.
Yeah,
I think it's just laziness.
I want her as first lady, no matter who wins.
And
she should be in.
Biden's campaign manager is the one who actually grabbed the woman from around the waist and hauled her off the stage, too.
Where was the Secret Service?
Yeah, don't these guys have secrets?
They
Biden does.
And they should.
Wait, doesn't Biden? No, a former VP.
No, we looked this up yesterday. Yeah. He does not.
Uh-huh. Oh, really?
They could decide at this point to give it to them.
And it seems like they should.
Somebody said Jill should be Secretary of Defense.
Yes. Well, it was great. And the campaign manager you were talking about, who tweeted yesterday that she broke a nail. But she was on CNN yesterday, and she said she was getting it fixed in the afternoon. So please don't worry about her.
That's very long.
Okay, yeah. That's very cool. Melania, match that.
Lighten up. Yeah. Okay. And Byron says, my November prediction. My money says Bernie runs on a third party ticket and spoils it for the Dems. 4 more years of Donald. I don't think so. I'll book that bet. Yeah. I don't think so.
I don't think so.
You know, you got to worry about
But Tulsi Gabbard, I'm worried about her.
No. Where has Tulsi Gabbard been?
How does she get to stay in?
She hasn't pulled out.
Where's the support for that campaign?
1%? Yeah.
Well, what does she need?
Well, what does she need?
I mean, if you're not doing anything.
We're talking about her, guys.
She hasn't been at any
She's not in a
while.
Debate.
And it's said that even if she qualified, she would not be in it.
And then Susan says, Tulsi Gabbard.
Here we go.
Panel, please tell me what Tulsi Gabbard is doing still running. I don't get it. Thanks,
Susan.
Me neither. I'll take a stab at it. I think what happens is, you know, everybody likes their 15 minutes of fame, and this is hers.
Yeah, and that's a hard job to go with. She's a
congressman,
a Democrat. I mean,
a Democrat in Congress from Hawaii.
So going from having lots of people listening to you to being having no power, no voice. That's tough.
And those long flights back and forth to Washington. I mean, you got to look at that too, you know.
And we heard from Pamela of Carmel, New York, who says, what does the panel think of the potential of a Biden-Warren ticket? Biden brings the stability of that Rosemary is talking about. Warren appeals to progressives, women, and liberals, moderates who are afraid of going too far too fast, like me. She's young enough that she could run when Biden is no longer in office, be it 4 or 8 years. Thoughts? Thanks, as always, for an engaging discussion. Again, Pamela from Carmel.
I don't even think she's on the long list, let alone the short list.
Mm-hmm. I like strategically the idea of her debating Pence. I think that would be a fascinating
debate. Oh, any of them debating Pence. Won't that be fun?
Yeah, anybody, but I do think, I agree with Rich, that it might be detracting from that. Some people who might vote for Biden might turn away because Elizabeth Warren is...
Has Elizabeth Warren done well enough in this whole scenario to convince anybody?
Did better than Kamala Harris, for example. So
who cut out very early.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Alan, if you were the head of the Democratic Party,
yes, I would.
What would you advise Elizabeth Warren to do right now? Stay in to the end? Suspend the campaign and not endorse anybody, or endorse the front runner?
Well, if I was Elizabeth Warren right now, and if the inevitable looked pretty straightforward to me, which is that Biden's going to get the nomination, I would certainly endorse Biden.
Now?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Really? Now?
Yeah. I mean, there's an argument. Teresa Bourgeois made it earlier this week when she was on the roundtable that what Elizabeth Warren needs to do is stay in all the way to the convention that the votes and the delegates that she doesn't release any delegates, which is about 8 or 9 or something. But she doesn't. Her supporters don't move over to Bernie, that she stay campaigning until the day of the.
I agree. I agree with Teresa. I think that's her. I don't know what she's going to do, but she has the most amount of leverage later.
By staying in.
Yeah, and by staying in. And, yeah. And she's helping Biden every day that she's in.
All right, we have 10 seconds, so I have to go to a break. We'll hold there. We'll come back. We'll continue. We welcome your comments. Panel at WAMC.org. We'll return for our final go-around right after this. All right, we're going to want to talk a little bit about the John Roberts condemnation of Senator Chuck Schumer for saying the justices, quote, will pay the price for awful decisions. Senator Chuck Schumer, speaking while the court heard arguments in a major abortion case, directed his criticism at President Trump's two Supreme Court appointees, Chief Justice John Roberts, who only very rarely responds to criticism of federal judges, issued a statement on Wednesday denouncing remarks made by Senator Schumer at a rally outside the Supreme Court. Mr. Schumer, speaking while the court heard arguments in the case, attacked President Trump's justices Neil Gorsuch and Brett Kavanaugh, his appointees. You have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price, Mr. Schumer said. You will not know what hit you if you go forward with these awful decisions. Chief Justice Roberts responded, justices know that criticism comes with the territory, but threatening statements of this sort from the highest levels of government are not only inappropriate, they are dangerous. All members of the court will continue to do their job without fear or favor for whatever quarter.
This was not the Pelican Brief. this guy, Chuck Schumer, who has been way too quiet, in my opinion, for quite a while now, all of a sudden is finding whatever he had to find and standing up at one of the worst times for potential worst times for women in America, got up there and did what he had to do. And he made it clear. He wasn't threatening anybody's life. He said, you'll reap the whirlwind, and they will, because they're going down in the history books as bums, as far as I can tell. And that's why this election is so important, because if this election goes for Trump, there are going to be at least two more Supreme Court justices to vote with him. And by the way, am I wrong about this? But doesn't it seem to me that Trump, very early in his career, or not so that early, was all for a woman's right to decide about her body,
yes,
as I remember it.
He was.
So this is pure political hackery and nonsense.
So you don't have any problem with what Schumer said?
No, I have no problem. I admire Chuck for getting up there and doing it.
I have a problem with it, and I hate that they're rechecking a case that's exactly like one that was put down
Texas
several years ago. Yeah. I hate it. I hate the Supreme Court as it is now, but it is completely inappropriate to attack Supreme Court justices. My only problem is that he isn't the only one, and there is a higher level of government that has been attacking Supreme Court justices, and we did not hear from Roberts at the time.
Last week.
He needs to speak out against Schumer and against Donald Trump every time he hits Ruth Bader Ginsburg also misspoke, and she apologized. But Sotomayor was not attacking the president. She was attacking decisions by the court that favored Trump. That's completely different. And the attack on her was unjustified, and he should have spoken out then.
Wait. I don't understand. Are you saying that Chuck should not have opened his mouth?
He should not have said that. Come on.
He can open his mouth.
I don't think it was a real threat, but
well,
I don't think...
We disagree on that.
No, I don't think he should have said...
I heard his...
Get ready for the heat.
I mean, I heard his spin on it, which was I was speaking to the a reference to the political price Senate
to the
Republicans will pay.
None of whom he mentioned in the
But when he – the quote is – justices know that criticism that wasn't it, but anyways, he just said that
he
they
said
would
it by
have,
name
he did he aimed it right at them. He said you have released, he said to Gorsuch and to Kavanaugh, you have released the whirlwind and you will pay the price.
Yeah, I like it.
That's so, a direct threat.
But don't you think it would have been,
it's not a threat, what's a threat,
more successful?
Well, when you say you don't know what will hit you,
yeah,
well, it is a and politically, Kavanaugh historically made the same reference to the whirlwind that was going to be unleashed during his confirmation hearings. I think it was
a reference
to that.
Another time Robert should have spoken out when he talked about the partisan Clinton crowd being against him.
Somebody, I mean, look, Chuck Schumer, somebody wrote this line for him, right? I mean, Chuck Schumer doesn't just stand up there and come up with something off the top of his head that has that many words in it that he got in the right order.
Pre-decided.
Yeah, that's so condescending on your part.
But do you think he came up with that extemporaneously?
I know Chuck. He's a very bright guy. Very bright guy.
Yeah, but I agree with Rosemary.
Somebody wrote it. He planned to say that, and he planned to use their – I think the thing – first, I agree with you. I think it was inappropriate, and I think – and I agree with you on the Trump thing, too.
Now you know you were wrong, Rosemary.
We actually agree.
No, it was inappropriate.
It's only on the really important things that Rich is wrong and disagrees with.
I think one of the things that makes it inappropriate is calling any of them out by name.
Yeah.
I think that –
you're right.
I mean, you know, de facto, that personalizes it, and it's a lot different –
Then
a decision or a leaning or something like that. You can't call out somebody by name like that, especially with something that could easily, Alan, be construed as a threat of some type.
Well, first of all, I don't agree with that. And second of all, we go right back to Roosevelt and his calling out the Supreme Court, which was stopping the progress that was going on in this country at the time. And he called them out and they got out, as a matter of fact.
Wow.
So, what'd you say?
I mean, historians do not agree with you that that was appropriate. It was a good political move. I'm not even sure that what Schumer did is a good political move.
Yeah,
right
it
now.
Was the opposite. It handed Roberts, it handed Trump something to criticize him for.
Well, it cut into a really good day for the Democrats.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the other thing.
It crowded, I mean, just... And then the follow up.
Mitch McConnell, by the way, just did say it definitely was a threat.
Well, yeah, well, Mitch McConnell.
Now that does lessen the impact.
I'm for Chuck, and I think Chuck did a wonderful thing, and I want everybody to know it.
You know, at one point the Democrats were saying, "When they go low, we go high," and I think this is a harbinger that this coming campaign season they're all going to be low.
Yeah, it's
well, you know,
really
the
low.
Truth is, I disagree with Michelle Obama on that totally. I think that you should answer, you know, tit for tat. However, Democrats are terrible at it.
Yes,
they're much better at the attack, except for maybe Elizabeth Warren. That should be her job. It's just from now on, we have to go after them, put her on the job.
You know, the Democrat who was really good at that, and he's out of the picture now, is Al Franken.
Yes. Right about that.
He knew how to answer Trump, you know, droll little comment.
I actually think that the whether it's the right policy or not to go low when other people go high, and I tend to agree with you. I think you usually do better in retrospect going that way. But I think since it's going to be Biden, I don't think Biden is good at going low. That's actually to his credit.
Maybe
why
people
like him.
I don't think he should
engage.
I think he should engage however he engages, which is probably not as you know, viscerant as, you know, as like an Elizabeth Warren or something like that.
I say your daughter is terrific. Anyway, Marilyn says SCOTUS.
SCOTUS.
If Warren's supporter here, she should remain neutral, then push to have her copious plans added to nominee's platform, as she is the most competent and healthiest candidate in the race. Bottom line, we need to win the presidency and Senate to save the courts. That is game, set, match. If we do not win, kiss the U.S. as we know it. Goodbye. Couldn't be a better letter. Thank you, Marilyn. And Dennis says, here's why the young don't get out, after the media is now saying it's Biden. Why bother? Dennis from Milford.
And why Russ, bother?
Because your vote can
Trump?
Make a difference.
Yeah, but Bernie, that's where Bernie could be of help. Bernie, you would think that Bernie could at least get his people out to vote for Biden in the general.
He could,
if he's so inclined.
Wait, you think he's not responsible for supporters who are rude and obnoxious, but he could persuade them to vote for someone who's the antithesis of him and everything they stand for?
He's less antithesis-y than, than is Trump.
Antithesis on you.
Oh, right, that's good. That's
right? Less so than Trump.
Well, he is, but, you know, Bernie's always sounded to me half-hearted when he said, I will do anything I can to defeat Trump. He's the worst president we ever had. Right. And by the way, this is why my plan's the best.
Look, if he ends up pouting and sulking, then it won't help. But if he ends up, you know, manning up a little bit and being gracious, then I think he can help maybe get more of the young people out than otherwise would have.
Rosemary's been making this point about Bernie and his reaction and quote-unquote helping Hillary in 2016. I know it's early, but there's an ad that Biden has done, a web ad. Okay, so it's breaking news that Elizabeth Warren is ending her
campaign.
Presidential campaign.
I told you.
That was one day off.
I told you that. The rest of you sit around and you poo-pooed me, but I told you.
We didn't poo-poo you.
Yeah, you poo-pooed me.
No, we were.
It was almost entirely poo-poo.
We had no...
I said she was going to drop out yesterday. I'm upset I got it wrong.
I think, Judy said it was the story that we were all watching. The question is, who does she endorse now? Does she endorse anybody? Does she endorse
She'll
Biden?
Call it press conference
Biden, Sanders? What happens?
She also might have been out of money.
Well, Judy would know.
You know, she's supposed to make a formal announcement later in the day, according to the New York Times. And I, as I've listened to the discussion this morning, I tend to agree that maybe she won't make any endorsement. I'll probably be wrong.
Okay. Anyway, Russ says party pooper. Bernie was never a card-carrying Democrat.
A lot of poo-poo this morning, but go ahead.
And has based his campaign on insurgency. He will have no influence over the party platform coming out of the convention. For the sake of public relations, Democrats will pay lip service to Bernie's goals, but he will keep their eyes on the prize, PAC contributions, when setting their goals. That's from Russ. And we heard from Dan. Good morning, Roundtable. Sorry I could not be there with you. Dan Azari.
Dan Azari, who was supposed to be with us today.
He
had
we miss him.
An emergency.
He's writing us letters. That means he can listen to us, but he can't be.
Well, he's in the car.
Come on, Dan.
He has to travel. He's in the car. It's okay.
Yeah. Okay, I forgive you.
He's doing it as he's driving.
I think someone else is driving. It's all okay. Dan's fine. Go ahead with the letter.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's all right.
Dan says, good morning, Roundtable colleagues. Sorry I could not be there with you. However, I can't help but chime in from the road. T.O., Uncle Joe, had better up his Latino outreach game if he is to have a chance to become the next president. And to the punditry, present company accepted, Bernie is getting a Latinx votes for two reasons, in my opinion. One, they like to have decent health care. Two, they might be thinking about Obama's high deportation rate and are voting with that in mind. Biden needs to figure out his immigration plan and get better sloganeering. That's from Dan. Thanks, Dan.
Good insight.
I never thought you were driving there. I take it back. Okay.
I wonder where these. So you have three people drop out, within a week.
Well,
and yeah, I know part of
four
it's circumstances.
Plus Dyer, but yes.
Yeah, right. Okay. Are we counting Bloomberg? Right?
So
five.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
So, but of some, I'm wondering when the story of this actually gets told, I wonder who made those calls. Like, I wonder. Who it was who reached out to them? Was it somebody high in Biden's campaign? Was it just a decision they made on their own? Was it somebody higher than Biden? Was it, you know, who was
you
it?
Even higher than Biden.
Well, there's only one guy higher than Biden.
Who is?
Obama.
Right.
No, you know, I think the candidates said they were getting calls from Obama, so I think he is working the scenes. But I actually give credit to this to Pete Buttigieg, who actually did have candidates. He actually had beat Bernie at least in one contest. Yeah. And he said, I got into this to stop Trump, and now this is what I have to do to stop Trump. I really admired that.
And Buttigieg is a real numbers guy, and he's a real analysis kind of guy. And you could see him looking at all the numbers available to him, the polling.
Yeah.
And from the reporting, it doesn't mean that it's true. I mean, I agree with your question. I mean, I don't know what the...
I'd love to know.
Yeah, I would too. And I think eventually we'll find out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the story that's being told right now is that Buttigieg came out of South Carolina, did not do well, went over to Plains, Georgia, met with Jimmy Carter in the morning, then went over to Alabama, did the walk across the Pettus Ridge from Selma to Montgomery,
right.
Mm-hmm. And then in that reflection came back and said, I don't have the numbers, to Judy's point, and ended it. And then I think there was a call from Buttigieg to Klobuchar, and there you go.
And she may not have been first, but her speech of getting out in support for Biden was actually a terrific speech.
It was.
Yeah. I thought both were, actually.
A lot of people
very
do that.
Gracious.
There was somebody in the last, in 2016, there was somebody who, like, their best day was the day they got out. You know,
the Republican one.
I can't remember which, but somebody ever said, "Wow, the best speech they made was the speech they made getting out of the race." Yeah. I forgot who it was.
Well,
it would have more impact, your comment, if you
we all remember.
Yes,
there's supposed to be a debate on March 15th in Phoenix, CNN, and
so that'll be the two, right?
Yeah, it'll be down to two.
Okay. Well, we went from 47 to two. We are out of time. My thanks to everybody for being here.
That was fun.
You're all great.
That was fun. Thank you.
You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.